I'm going to pray over Mary. When we were thinking through this series, we did this on purpose because Mary interned with us for 2 years. And so this morning we're talking about we will invest in people. And so Mary is somebody that we invested in, and now she is the youth director here at Living Christ Church. And so we're thankful that now Mary calls NIAC and Living Christ Church home. And so we're excited to hear from her tonight, this morning. Feels like night. Let me pray for Mary before we get started. Lord Jesus, we thank you that that your spirit is upon her, that you've gifted her to speak, that you've gifted her to preach. Lord, we thank you that even now you are speaking to her, that you've been speaking to her all week. Lord, I pray that all the stuff that she heard from you, she would impart to us. It would land with weight upon our souls, that we would be filled to a measure of all full of what she shares with us this morning. We thank you and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Good morning, church. I am so excited to be here with you guys this morning. I'm so excited. So I'm going to admit something to you guys. I am very guilty of being a Facebook scroller. I don't know about you guys, but I spend a lot of time just sitting there scrolling. My mom is really good at sending me Facebook stuff, and I love it because it's just a way of communication with her and I. But I'm a scroller. I look at all the stories. But this one story really stuck out to me, and I'm going to show it to you guys. All right, so this story, I don't know if you guys saw this, but this came up on my feed, and I just loved it. It grabbed my attention right away. So this is Mr. Smith and LJ. So this was an article I saw. It said, the headline read, "The boy with special needs joined on the ground by his assistant principal." Mr. Smith is his assistant principal. He's the bigger man on the ground. And LJ is the smaller one. So what's going on in this picture is that it was a day at school for LJ, and his bus came late. And LJ has some disabilities. He was panicked. He was just a little frustrated. I mean, you want to go home from school and your bus is late? Come on, like how many of you guys would want to melt down and be like, I just want to go home? Like how many of you have been at that moment where you just want to go home? And so LJ just kind of melted down. But Mr. Smith said, that's okay. And he got on his level with him. He got on the ground and he said, it's okay, we're going to get through this together. He got right on the ground and said, LJ, we got this. We're going to just, it's okay to melt down right now. And he sat with him through that. This was a storm, and Mr. Smith rode the storm with him. So today, you guys, today we're going over our last core value. We went over our four. The last one is we will invest in people. But the first one was we love NIAC. How many of you guys have showed that we have loved NIAC through this series? How many? Come on. Just a little mention. I work at Costa del Sol. If you want to love on NIAC, you can come. I'll be your server. I will serve you. You can love NIAC by coming to Casa or any other place here in NIAC. We will listen to God. How many of you guys have leaned in and just listened to God this month? Come on, show of hands. Great job. I'm so proud of you guys. And last week we learned we will change through the work of the Holy Spirit. How many of you guys have been leaning into that? Yeah? I have. Come on. So today we're going to learn how we will invest in people. I'm very excited to go over this with you guys. So I'm just going to read our core values with you guys. The definition. For the sake of those near and far, we will invest in the people God gave us. During their time among us, people will become healthier, more whole, and more Christ-like. We will be generous with our time, energy, wisdom, resources, and knowledge. Near and far, we know that some of the people we invest in will not stay at Living Christ Church. Sorry, you guys. We will invest in them anyways. Healthier, more whole in regards to the soul that they're caring for. Guys, I'm so excited. So let's open. So today we're going to be in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. So open up your pew Bible. It's on page 815. Sorry, guys. If you guys, there's a pew Bible in front of you. You guys can use your smartphones. If you have your own Bible, that's awesome. But if you might just need to sit and just listen this morning. Some of you guys might not just get a moment just to be read to. So I will read it, but just take a moment and soak it in if you need that this morning. All right. That day when the evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, and just as he was in the boat, there was also another boat with him. A fierce squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" But he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet. Be still." Then the winds died down, and it completely calmed. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified. They asked each other, "Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obeyed him." Come on. So we see this story of Jesus calming the storm three times in the gospel. We see it in Matthew, we see it in Mark, as we just saw, and then we see it in Luke. But each time we see it in the Bible, there's always a different story before it. But this time in Mark, right before Jesus got in the boat and they went off and had this excursion, it was the parable of the mustard seed. I just want to jump forward and look back a little right before that moment. So turn with me, and it'll be on the screen, to Mark 4, 33 to 34. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the words to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. So I just want to give you some background here. So Jesus picked his first disciples, and they were fishermen. Being a fisherman was one of the first trades. When you came to above age, you either had a choice of, normally for men, they would either choose the rabbi route, where they would start learning more, and they would, like, if they felt they were promised enough, then they could get into the scripture, they would start going the route of learning how to be a rabbi. Or they would choose to follow their parents' trade. Women start following their mothers and learning how to be a homemaker. Guys would follow the trade of their fathers. So as we can see in Mark 1, Jesus, their sons are with them. So Jesus called his first disciples Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, James and the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were fishermen, you guys. They were on the Sea of Galilee, the same sea that we see the storm at. They were on that sea fishing, and Jesus called them to be his fisher of men. So Jesus sometimes calls the lowest people, most likely the people that are not going to be the rabbi in the worldly standards, but these are the people that carried out the church, you guys. Jesus explained to them. He got on their level, and he taught. You guys, he made sure that they understood. He made sure he did not do with anything without a parable. He wanted them to understand his teaching. He just wanted them to know. He got on their level. Jesus chose to invest in his disciples. The disciples needed to interact with the living God to know how to bring the kingdom to earth and how to continue the church. He needed to show them on their practical level to invest in them so they can continue on the church. They were the church, you guys. Hear me when I say, Jesus lived life with them. He had a relationship with them. He chose into the relationship with them. All that he knew that was going to go on, he knew he wanted a relationship with them. He leaned in, he listened, but he would have conversations and they would ask questions and he would answer them, as we saw. So going back to the story, Jesus got into the boat and they went across to go do ministry. Jesus could have just taken another boat simply to get there, or he could have rowed in his own boat. But he got in the same boat with them, you guys. He stepped in their boat, and he rode with them. So they're going along, and Jesus is sleeping in a boat, sleeping in the stair on a cushion. Jesus was fully human and fully God, you guys. This showed his humanity. This showed that even him investing in people, he still needed to go and rest. He needed to go and take a rest. So he went and rested, and this showed that he could be weary. But he woke up, and he saw that they were in a storm with his followers. Jesus took his authority and gave them an example of how to take an authority. Jesus was always an active example to his disciples, you guys. We are not Jesus, but we should try to be an active example to the people that we are investing in with Jesus-like characteristics. It's that from Warren Wiersbe, he's an American theologian. It says, Jonah ended up in a storm because of his disobedience, but the disciples got into the storm because of their obedience to the Lord. So his followers saw the storm around them, but Jesus knew what to do in the storm. Jesus showed them. It wasn't about the storm. Okay, so let's imagine. Let's step into the feet of our disciples. They're in this boat going along, probably not as great as the boats that we have today, and they were in this boat. And then the storm starts coming up. Do you guys see this rain outside right now? It's probably a lot worse than this. And the boat's rocking, and their waves are coming up, and they're like, all right, this is it. We're going to die. This is probably it. Like, and they're like, Jesus, wake up. Do you not see the storm that's around us? Hello. But Jesus woke up, calmed the storm, and they were just ready to go. He said he wasn't worried about the storm that was around them. He could calm the storm. He showed them that. He was an active example. But a lot of times, do we look at the storm and get scared and see what Jesus could do in the storm? Or do we get scared? We saw what Jesus can do to a storm. We saw this. We saw the active example, you guys. But Jesus can calm the storm. We don't need to be afraid because Jesus is in the storm with us and he can calm it. So we need to look to him in that. So I kind of have been in a similar situation with the disciples. Two summers ago, I worked at Lake Champion. I was a lifeguard. I worked on a lake for most of the summer as a lifeguard. And so at Lake Champion, there was a job. We rotated jobs every week, and it was called Rescue Boat. This was my rescue boat, you guys. I was on a paddleboard. So what Rescue Boat entailed was that the students would, these youth men, children would come out, and they would get to go out on the lake. They could go out on a paddleboard. They can go in a canoe. They can go in a kayak. They loved playing sunk ship, I forgot the word exactly. But it's like basically what they would do is they would go around sinking each other's boats. And my job was to take all the water out of their boat in the middle of the lake on my paddleboard and get them back in the boat. Well, one day, wasn't my favorite thing to do, be on there. I really didn't like being at camp for the most part, you guys. So this was the lovely canoe that they would most likely try to sink most of the time. So finally, I chose into God, and I said, all right, God, I'm just going to be obedient. You called me here to camp. What are you going to do, Lord? So that day, I finally had a great group that I really enjoyed, and I just allowed them to do it, and I taught them how to flip over their boats so that I didn't have to do it. So one day, they're all rolling out, and they're like, hey, Mary, hey, and then they're like, it looks a little thundering and lightning. It's kind of like today, but like, It was really muggy out, and I said, as long as it's not thundering and lightning, you're fine. We can hang out. As soon as I said, as long as it's not thundering and lightning, what happens? It thunders and lightnings. So the wind's coming down. It's thundering and lightning. I'm sending everyone in. All you hear is air horns going off, trying to get everybody out of the lake, out of the pools. And so I'm, like, panicking because I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, I'm in a lake with lightning. So I'm getting everyone in. Finally, I see everyone's, like, going towards shore, and I start to head in. But then I see this lovely little canoe all the way at the other end. I turn back to make sure, and what do I see? The lovely canoe. So this is the lake at Lake Champion. I was, like, right here. The kid was, like, all the way back over there. This is the dock. So I start paddling hard because this kid is just spinning in circles now. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I go over. I'm like, I'm going to die. Like, I'm like, do you not see the thundering and lightning and you're spinning in circles in the middle of the lake? What are you doing? So I go over. His name was, and I asked him, I said, what's your name? And he goes, Tommy. And I said, oh, Tommy. So I said, are you having a fun time at camp? And he goes, yeah. And so I was like, okay. So I said, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to hop in the boat with you, and we're going to paddle as hard as we can to the end of shore. This kid is not fazed that there's a thunderstorm going on around him and it's downpouring. But I said, okay, and it was great because he's like, has this huge smile on. So I hop in the boat, I tie on my paddleboard, and we start rowing. We're rowing hard. It starts to rain sideways now. It's thundering and lightning even more, and I'm terrified. Inside, I'm like, I'm going to die. This is it, Lord. Like, what the heck? Like, are you really, like, this is it? Like, I said I would follow you. I would obey you. I'm doing what you said. And God just said, peace be still. So we're rowing in. I'm asking Tommy, I was like, and finally I was like, okay, Tommy, how's your week going at camp? And he's like, cool, like this is my first time hearing about the gospel. This is my first time hearing about Jesus. I'm having an amazing time. People are loving on me here, just telling me everything he loves. And I said, okay, Lord. So we finally get into shore. I'm like freaked out still a little bit. And it just stops. The storm literally stopped. Like, the sun came out, there was a rainbow and everything. But I chose in to invest and just listen. I think a lot of times we just see the storm that's around us, and we're like, God, what's going to happen? And he's like, just trust me. He will stop the winds and the waves. We just got to trust you guys. But also, we can invest at the same time. So, you know, after they stopped, the wind and the wave finally stopped, after we saw that Jesus calmed the storm, they pull up to shore, and that's in Mark chapter 5. And if you look through Mark chapter 5, you're hard to see Jesus healing, and he does a lot of miracles in that chapter. But Jesus invested in them, you guys. Jesus took that time, invested, got on their level, was in the boat with them, and said, I'm going to be on your level, and we're going to go do this. And they continued on the church. It's kind of how we're here today, you guys. They continued on the church. Jesus invested in his disciples and then the apostles, and then they went off and continued the church, the big global church. So my question for you guys today is, Who is God calling you to invest in? Like Jeff said earlier, like, I'm the youth director here. This was actually not my first church that I was going for, and my first one fell through. It wasn't like my choice, but it just, things fell through, and then doors just open. And right away, Pastor Jeff said, we will invest in you. I get to invest in my leaders that I work with weekly, and that's just amazing. Now, yeah, I got to invest. I get to invest in my coworkers, but who is God investing in you, or calling you to invest in? God will point them out to you. So I want to give you guys a few minutes just to process and just listen, and just sit in that. Holy Spirit, just come. God, we know that you're a God of miracles. We know that you move in our lives, Lord. God, I just thank you for investing in us. Lord God, I just pray of that you just give us a picture of the person you want us to invest. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a friend that we haven't talked to in a while. Maybe we think it's a friend that's too far gone. God, I just pray you give us strength, wisdom, and knowledge. I pray you bless our congregation with that, Lord. That you point out the person that we're supposed to be investing in. Maybe it's one, maybe it's two, or maybe it's three. Lord God, I just pray you be clear of how to invest, and I pray you bless us with the Jesus-like characteristics. God, you are good, and I just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you guys need prayer, we'll be up here for prayer.